Next on Making Sense of the Madness, Seth Holthouse is with us to discuss the latest military escalation near Taiwan. Also going to talk about the Ukraine war, monkeypox, and the Democrats' plan to steal the midterms. We're going to question the mainstream narrative and expose media propaganda right now.
In our nation's 246-year history, there has never been an individual who is a greater threat to our republic than Donald Trump. He tried to steal the last election using lies and violence to keep himself in power after the voters had rejected him. He is a coward. A real man wouldn't lie to his supporters. He lost his election, and he lost big. I know it, he knows it, and deep down, I think most Republicans know it. Lynn and I are so proud of Liz for standing up for the truth, doing what's right, honoring her oath to the Constitution, when so many in our party are too scared to do so. Liz is fearless. She never backs down from a fight. There is nothing more important she will ever do than lead the effort to make sure Donald Trump is never again near the Oval Office. And she will succeed. I am Dick Cheney. I proudly voted for my daughter. I hope you will too.
I'm Liz Cheney, and I approve this message.
Well, that was beyond parody. I really love the strings, by the way, Dick Cheney. It looks like they wheeled him out of some kind of cowboy-themed nursing home party. And love the scowl, too, Dick. It was a really great delivery. But, you know, as Kanakoa the Great said, coming from the war criminal who knowingly lied about weapons of mass destruction, leading to the death of more than 1 million innocent people, and to record profits for your company, Halliburton, this has to be the greatest endorsement President Trump has ever received. Well, Seth Holthouse is with us. He's the host of Man in America. You most likely saw his first video, The Plot to Steal America, which was tweeted and pinned multiple times by President Trump. Welcome to the show, Seth. Tell us a little bit about your show. How did it all get started, Man in America?
I'll try to give you the quick version of it. So first off, Sean, thank you very much for having me on the show. And thank you for being someone that's boldly stepping out to counter the mainstream narrative, especially with your face, your name. I always have a lot of respect for people that just put themselves in front of the camera and step out against the war machine that we're up against. So quick background for myself. I had, back in 2008, I moved from my nice, kind of country quiet life of Ohio into the heart of New York City to actually work for this fledgling media company at that time called the Epoch Times, which was in its early stages, because I felt this drive to fight against communism and call it maybe the ideals of youth, but I really wanted to take a stand against communism. And I had an opportunity to go work for this newspaper, which has been one of the strongest voices to expose the Chinese Communist Party specifically. And I was there for quite some time, ended up coming back to Ohio a few years back. Life was good. I'm sure just like yourself, I was waiting for Trump to win 2020 in a landslide and was just following the politics and following what was happening. And then Fox News called Arizona. And we know exactly what happened from there. So, within a couple of days after that, my wife and I, we were talking, saying, how can we fight this? We knew it was an information war. And we knew that the mainstream media, which Fox, had completely joined in and completely showing its true colors, was going to do everything possible to create this narrative that Joe Biden won and that Trump is, doing everything like that you see Cheney doing right there. And so we ended up making this video called The Plot to Steal America. We built a little studio in our basement. And we made this video and we just described not only election fraud and all of the evidence that was coming out, whether it was the burst water pipes or the videos of people pulling the buckets of ballots out from under the tables, but it was also tying the story of really the communist and globalist takeover and why Trump was standing in the way of that. And, China's influence on our election system, everything, but also it was a strong reminder to the importance of the American spirit and encouraging people across the world to stand up against tyranny and really fight for truth. And within a couple of weeks after uploading that, all of a sudden I woke up one morning, had a bunch of phone calls coming in, like, what happened? And my buddy said, like, dude, do you know who shared your video? I was like, what, General Flynn? it was President Trump just tweeted your video. And it was just, you know, back when, you know, I'm dating the timeline here because that was back when Trump was still on Twitter. But he ended up actually taking that video and he cut it into two different pieces and he uploaded it to all of his social media accounts, his YouTube, his Facebook, you know, obviously his Twitter account. And he ended up tweeting it and pinning it multiple times. And the video probably got seen by hundreds of millions of people around the world. And though at that time, I wasn't setting out to be a, you know, a show host or anything. I actually had a small business and I was quite happy with my private life. But I said, I had to draw a line in the sand and say, you know what? Like, I can't just sit idly by and this is what I have to do. And so since then, you know, I've carried on and I have the, you know, the Man in America show, which I'm, you know, live twice a week and I'm involved in a lot of other things, but speaking tours, et cetera. But now my life is really dedicated to exactly what you're doing, which is counteracting the lies and also trying to decipher the lies, because there's a lot of propaganda on all sides of the story. There's deep propaganda, and we're experiencing, I think, the largest global psychological operation that humanity has ever experienced with everything that's happening right now. And I feel like that my role is to try to do what you do and make sense of the madness that's around us.
Yes, I feel a lot of parallels here. I do agree that this is an information war, and you happen to get recruited unofficially by the president to fight in it, you know, and it's a peaceful war in a way from our side. We don't have to be violent, so we don't have to do anything besides share the truth, which is a lot easier than what the founding fathers had to do to, you know, throw the yoke of tyranny off of their back. Well, I want to talk a little bit about the election steal. Because you said Fox called Arizona, you really called Fox out there. And, you know, Fox took a really long time to call Kerry Lake's victory. And so I see like a repeat of history, you know, history repeats, it rhymes. And, you know, we're seeing a new declaration of a health emergency, you know, just in time for the midterms. Started off with, you know, San Francisco and New York, and then started hitting the blue states like California. And now all of a sudden, the Biden administration declares that monkeypox, which has only killed a handful of people worldwide, is now a public health emergency, just in time to do all the same tactics that they did for the 2020 to steal the election, using health emergency as a guise. So I was wondering if you could comment on that. And then we're going to watch a video real quick to, you know, to just show that this is official news now that the Biden administration did declare that.
Yeah, you know, I think it's just they've got all kinds of tricks up their sleeve. And, you know, what they don't want, obviously, in 2020, there's a pressured timeline to release COVID. They had to have the excuse to move to mail-in ballots and everything. And I actually believe that you know, Trump was not supposed to get in the first time, as you probably do as well, and that him getting in really threw a gigantic wrench into their plans, and that COVID was sped up, the whole process of COVID was sped up, specifically with the CCP, because Trump was really putting the screws to the CCP with his tariffs and really not taking their crap. And so, you know, the CCP is very weakened because of Trump, and they're still in a very weakened state right now, which we can get into that as it relates to what's happening with Taiwan and Pelosi and all that. But they had to pull out all the strings to get Trump out of there. Now, the thing is that if the media did not have the control that it did around 2020, Trump would have won. There would have been no option. The American people would have stood up and fought for Trump and fought for truth and justice. The problem, though, is that at that time, the media still had the poll. You know, it still had a lot of influence on the minds of Americans. And so I think as we enter into 2022, the Democrats, the globalists, the communists, et cetera, the people that want to steal our country and turn us into a slave nation, they're realizing and they're seeing that they've lost control. And even with monkeypox, it's like you can see how when COVID came out, even people I know that are strong conservatives, they were still really confused by it, and they were still, you know, wearing masks and following the social distancing. But it's actually the COVID itself, I think, is what woke so many people up. And a lot of folks that I've talked to, whether it's at one of the Reawaken events or just, you know, in general discussions, to say, a lot of times I'll ask them, like, you know, what is it that really stirred you from your slumber? And for so many people, it was COVID. And so as we enter into the midterms, they're trying to pull this monkeypox stuff, but I think that they're going to have a really, really difficult time getting the American people to go along with it, because even if some of them do, like we've seen what's happened to CNN's ratings since the election in 2020. We've seen what's happened to so many of these major media companies since that the election. So the power and the sway that media has now is so much weaker. And also in terms of the other major communication process, which is social media, you've got, you know, Truth Social, you've got Telegram, you've got Rumble. So, you know, at that time we had Parler, but Parler was very short-lived, and until the whole thing got wiped out by Amazon, it never really reemerged. So if we're looking at this as a war, the weapons of war were all on their side in 2020. But what we've done though is that the America First Patriots, the people that really care about freedom, like we've really been amassing our own stockade of our own tanks and bombers and, you know, ICBMs in the form of Truth Social, Telegram, the media companies like the Epoch Times. They have gotten, you know, massive influence, Gateway Pundit, you know, then also people like you, yourself and myself that have really set their and to get the truth out there. So I think that though they're stressed because they're losing a lot of control that they want to have, I think that we have a strong chance of really, really kind of moving the needle as we enter into the midterms. But that also makes me wonder what they're going to pull next, because for them, it's they're on their deathbed and just letting go.
Yeah, they have to keep upping the ante, right? And it's been surprising that they were able to pull off this scare event with COVID, despite the fact that it doesn't really hurt many people unless you have pre-existing conditions or you're elderly and so forth. And now monkeypox, it's an STD for the homosexual community. So this shouldn't even be an issue to discuss with the majority of folks in the country. But let's take a look at the clip to show that, yes, this is an official public health emergency. And then we'll see someone's take on Twitter, what they had to say about it. Let's take a look.
The U.S., of course, declaring monkeypox a public health emergency. This is coming, of course, from the Health and Human Services Secretary announcing this emergency via a telephone press conference, really, of course, aimed at facilitating access.
And now, luckily on Twitter, they're still allowing some people to share their opinion. This guy had to say that, you know, there have been 5 monkeypox deaths worldwide, and there were also 5 doctors in Ontario that died, but no one seems to care that young, healthy doctors are killing over dead in the same province. You've got unknown cause being the leading cause of death in that province. This is bizarre what we're living through, this type of strong propaganda, but people aren't falling for it as much. They're seeing through it. They're giving their commentary, you know, and like you said, they can do it in more than just Twitter anymore. We've got Truth Social, we've got Gab, we've got Telegram, and you and I have our own platform. So we're going to take a really quick break. When we get back, I want to get more of your perspective.
Stand out from the status quo. Let them know you're a patriot with the Patriot Pin. We feature an entire line of 14-karat gold-plated pins, starting at $4.45. Challenge coins, only $17.45 each. And decals, only $6.45 each. Order now and get a free gift at thepatriotpin.com.
We're talking to Seth Holthouse. He is the host of Man in America. And Seth, I wanted to switch gears, talk about China. You know, China's sanctioned Nancy Pelosi and her immediate family. There have been 68 Chinese planes, 13 warships who crossed the median line there, that in the Taiwanese Strait. There's supposed to be a line and you're not supposed to cross it, you know, according to the status quo we've had for a while. But they're crossing that line now. They say that line doesn't exist anymore to them. And China has suspended dialogue with the U.S. on military issues, climate change, and other topics in retaliation. Let's take a real quick look at the missiles they're shooting there near Taiwan.
Potential military showdown between China and Taiwan a day after House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's controversial trip to the island. A new video this morning showing China firing multiple missiles around Taiwan, part of an unprecedented number of military drills as tensions reach their highest level in more than 2 decades.
And so we're seeing some firepower there. Let's also take a look at the statement from the Chinese government. This is some strong words.
彻头彻尾的闹剧。 美方打着所谓民主的幌子，在干着侵犯中国 主权的勾当，而台湾的蔡英文之流，抱着美国的粗腿不放，背弃民族大义，这些倒行逆施啊，根本改变不了一个中国的国际共识，也根本改变不了台湾必将回归祖国的历史大势。
Those were some fighting words from the Chinese government spokesperson there. So, you know, you were saying before that China's in a weakened state, that Trump helped to weaken them. And now we've got this going on. They're posturing. They're acting like they hold all the cards. They're not showing any weakness. And yet all of the blame is being pinned on really the DNC machine and Pelosi. It's, you know, at the top of it. Isn't that interesting that it's being blamed on them and not even being blamed on Biden necessarily as much as Pelosi? And you don't see China lashing out against Mike Pompeo and some of the senator Republican senators in Congress. They're really putting it all on Biden and Pelosi. So I was wondering if you could just help us make sense of this madness. What do you think the reality is? Do you think that China really does hold as many cards as they act like they hold?
Yes and no. China has a very powerful military, and so does Russia, right? As we're now seeing, and I think that it's a Pandora's box to look into what's really happening with China. And I've been studying China and communism and really trying to fight against them in my own ways for nearly a decade and a half. And what I see happening right now is China is posturing for the early stages of war. China is in a very weakened state for a lot of reasons. Their country can't continue as it is. The economy is on the verge of absolutely imploding in China. There is the grand solar minimum, which has greatly affected their crop harvest in China. They can't feed their people. So they're storing mass amounts of grain, but they're not able to produce enough food to feed their own people. There is what they call the Tui Dong movement or the Quit the CCP movement, where we're now over 400 million Chinese people have renounced their association with the Chinese Communist Party, which is very significant because a communist regime or totalitarian regime, it has to keep the minds of its own people under its control for it to succeed. So China is in a very weakened state. And when a rattlesnake is backed into a corner, that's when it's the most dangerous. And so I think that what we're seeing play out here is I believe that China is actually setting the stage for World War III. That is their ambition. And if you trace back in history, and one of the guests that I've interviewed numerous times is Jeff Nyquist, who is an expert on geopolitics, especially as it relates to communism. And he's studied and he knows many of the defectors from the KGB, from the CCP, et cetera. And so the picture that's emerging here is that you have Russia and China standing up together with and pulling in the other BRICS nations against the United States. And so, a lot of people are saying, well, I thought Putin was fighting against the deep state in Ukraine. Well, yes, he is, right? But, Putin or Xi Jinping, they're not fighting a war to protect the American people. They're not fighting for our blue jeans and baseball and, our Hollywood movies. They're fighting against our government, which a lot of our government really has been utilized as a tool of the deep state. And deep state is heavily infiltrated into our government, into our military industrial complex. And for decades and decades, the Western bankers, in conjunction with the deep state within our own government, has been waging a war on the rest of the world. We talked about Dick Cheney, right? And then the war in Iraq. That's just the tip of the iceberg with what we've done. And so a lot of the nations around the world want to see America brought to its knees. And so what we're seeing happening right now is that if you look at the chess moves being made, Russia's attacked on Ukraine, very intentional. Look at what's happening in the NATO countries. Look at what's happening in the EU. As they enter into the winter, they have a very difficult time ahead of them with losing their energy resources from Russia. And they're now telling their citizens, take cold showers, get ready for a really cold winter. So if you look at what's happening with China, and if you look at the signs of this, so China is, they're not just preparing for a war against Taiwan. And there was a leaked conversation that came out a couple of months ago from a handful of very high generals in China. that they are moving their country, and for a very long time now, in the last past couple of years, they've been moving their country into a war posturing. They're moving into a war economy. They're stocking up on reserves. They hold a significant portion of the world's grain reserves. They know they're getting ready to enter into a war because they've been weakening and subverting America for a very, very long time. And if you look at what's unfolding with Taiwan, you know, Pelosi played perfectly into their hand. It's the perfect excuse to say, look, you're now interfering with what we're doing to reclaim Taiwan, which they believe is part of their part of their motherland, right? And so I think that what we're seeing is just the early stages of this, and it concerns me because there's so many things that I think a lot of Americans, we look at and we say, oh, you know, nobody would ever attack us, like we're America. And actually, you know, that's not always the case. And like I said, a rattlesnake that's backed into a corner, it'll attack anything it has to for its own survival, even if it will risk its own death in that process.
And there are many different data points, you know, pointing to China's short-term and long-term sustainability being limited by its demographics. Got a very aging population. You mentioned 400 million people who are not interested in the CCP. That's more citizens than we have in the United States. So that's a huge contingent of citizens that could turn on them at any moment. We've seen these lockdowns. We've seen people going and protesting at the banks in a very violent sort of fashion. And so there does seem to be this kind of change in rhetoric too. I've noticed that anti-American rhetoric really heated up a couple months ago from the Chinese side. And even on the American side, you have Trump put out a trolling statement for Biden and called the COVID the China virus again. So I do see what you're saying here, that there seems to be a ramping up of rhetoric and posturing and moves for war. And it makes me wonder, is Pelosi, as part of the deep state, baiting this war? It's the same way it seemed to be happening with Putin in Ukraine. You know, it seemed like the deep state wants a world war. That would certainly distract a lot from the midterms and from what's going on domestically. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I mean, I agree completely. I mean, and that's what I was going to say, you know, back on the whole midterm things. What concerns me is not what monkeypox is right now. What concerns me is the fact that I don't put it past these criminals to release some new strain of a flesh-eating disorder that they're going to say is monkeypox, or maybe it is some form of monkeypox. That's what really concerns me, is that, again, what we're dealing with right now is multiple factions of evil. We, you know, it's very easy to simplify as the deep state. Well, within the deep state, as we think about it, there are still multiple factions fighting for survival and fighting for global control. And while we look at, you know, a lot of people, they want to pin the blame on the European bankers or Klaus Schwab, and they certainly have a lot to do with it. They're fighting for control over the world, but actually the CCP is also fighting for control over the world. And what you're seeing is that China and Russia, with the BRICS nations, are teaming up to really work to collapse the American imperialist system. They want to supplant America as the global, you know, power, which it currently is, a lot less so under Biden than Trump. And so I think that what we're seeing is we're seeing a massive war, you know, kind of playing out above our heads, and we're just collateral damage. So if you look at the food shortages, you look at the inflation, you look at what's going to happen with the U.S. dollar. Right now, we're already seeing a weakening dollar. Well, what's going to happen when the OPEC nations come out and say, you know what, we're going to now take other currencies, right? It's no longer going to be the global petrodollar, where the dollar is the global reserve standard. These are all on the verge of happening. Like, when that happens, we're going to see a collapse in our financial system. This is all part of warfare, right? If you look into whether it's China or Russia or Soviet Union, you look in their history, they have a long-term plan to bring down America. There's even defectors that have come out and said that China and Russia have an agreement between them that once they take North America, that Russia gets Alaska and Canada, portions of Canada, and China gets the lower 48 states. So they're already working and they're already divvying up who's going to get pieces of America. There was a billboard that came out recently.
And they're already trying to do it. I mean, the Chinese have been buying up a land, you know, of course. And we all know the geopolitics is partly geography. You know, they want those waterways. They want those land masses. And certainly the Russians have been regretting giving up those portions in the northern area, Alaska area, for a long time. But I wanted to comment on the BRICS and the possible replacement reserve currency, because I think that's the big story no one's really talking about. Because you've got a Chinese-Russian alliance is basically a military alliance now, just because China's supporting the invasion of Ukraine. So they're on the same side, basically, whether they're just temporary allies or not. They are allies. And then recruiting other countries, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, or Iran, all these other countries to join the BRICS and to have an alternate reserve currency. And the fact that China owns most of the U.S. debt, and they could be dumping all those U.S. treasuries at any moment. So I just wanted to confirm what you said about the idea that crashing the U.S. economy would be part of that economic warfare. We're going to take a really quick break. When we get back, we'll definitely want to talk about China some more. But I also want to talk to you about some domestic issues, because we've got different issues that come up. And it seems like all that Republicans do is say, oh, this isn't fair. But then they don't, you know, do anything with teeth to stop it. So I want to get into that as soon as we get back.
Government-induced inflation. Taxes, rising interest rates, political instability. All of these can have a crushing effect on our investments, often causing the stock market to go down. But they can also cause gold and silver to go up.
Hi, this is Dr. Kirk Elliott. Buy gold, buy silver, buy now, but buyer beware. Precious metals companies are not created equal. As a PhD economist, I have been in the financial, economic, and precious metals business for 3 decades. The philosophy of my firm is people over profit. I encourage you to read my bio to learn more about me at KirkElliottPhD.com.
Now is the time to own physical metals in an IRA, 401k, and outside of a retirement plan. Don't let the government destroy your hard-earned assets any longer. Call 720-605-3900 or visit KirkElliottPhD.com.
We're talking to Seth Hullhouse, the host of Man in America. And so, you know, we were talking about China. We could talk about China all day, but I want to switch gears, talk about what's going on in our country. Let's take a look at this clip of Ted Cruz doing a little bout, a very friendly bout with Director Ray. And we'll talk about it as soon as we get back.
Include things like Black Lives Matter. Instead, you identify patriotic Americans as suspect. And I would note there's a pattern of this. As you're aware, the National Association of School Boards asked the Attorney General to investigate parents as domestic terrorists under the Patriot Act. Now, it did so because it was upset about moms and dads coming to school boards and disagreeing with the policies of those schools. 5 days after that letter, the Attorney General sent a memo to you directing the FBI to target parents for investigation. Since that time, the National Association of School Boards has apologized for the letter because it was so indefensible, but that hasn't stopped the FBI. In fact, you've created a specific threat tag directed at parents. So let me ask you, how many moms and dads who have spoken up at school boards has the FBI interviewed or investigated since the memo from the Attorney General?
Well, first off, I'll say I'm not aware of any. But second, let me address the issue.
You're not aware of any? Like, just, the House of Representatives has written you and asked
you. If you would let me.
So please answer.
Please. Let me say to you and to this committee the same thing I said to every FBI field office after I read the memo, which was that the FBI is not going to be in the business of investigating speech or policing speech at school board meetings or anywhere else. And that we're not about to start now, that threats of violence, that's a different matter altogether. And there we will work with our state local partners as we always have.
So, Director Ray, our time is, do you know how many parents you have interviewed or investigated since that memo?
I am aware that we have had a small number of assessments, which is less than an investigation, and a few full investigations. Let me finish.
I'm asking a question. Our time is limited.
I don't know the number, but that not necessarily. Okay, but wait, let me finish. That are not necessarily of parents, we have individuals who have made threats against a variety of people, sometimes school board officials, sometimes other people as
Director
well.
Director Ray, I will point out the House of Representatives has sent you oversight letters detailing dozens of investigations under a threat tag directed at parents, moms and dads, who G-men have come in because they spoke out against mask mandates or vaccine mandates or critical race theory, and suddenly the G-men show up. And this was after the Attorney General claimed it wasn't happening. And so the pattern, sadly, we've seen, you say you don't know how many there are. The follow-up will be, I'll send you a letter, and you'll send back a letter that says I refuse to answer it.
And this is the way politics works nowadays. They send a letter, they ask some questions, and then the deep state agents send back a letter and say, sorry, I can't answer that because some kind of excuse. And, you know, outrage just doesn't describe the type of deadlock that we're in for solving our problems. I'm kind of tired of this political theater. And do you wonder, Seth, if Republicans are really just trying to red pill people, trying to wake people up to all these issues so that when they get power back, and that's what they're stalling and waiting for, that they'll actually do something? Or are we going to see a repeat? Because the Republicans in Congress did the exact same thing through the Trump years. They did the same political theater where they grilled people like big tech executives and then did absolutely nothing to hold them accountable. So, Seth, what say you?
Well, you know, some people might say I'm a relatively black-pilled person when it comes to American politics because I don't have a whole lot of faith in our political system. You know, I do think that it's the Americans' duties to go out and vote and vet our candidates and get involved at local levels. Absolutely. But when it comes to what's happening in D.C., honestly, I think that it's mostly bread and circuses. I had Dr. David Martin on in an interview a few months back, and one of the things we were talking about was Fauci. And, you know, of course, you know, you've probably seen all the different videos, and they always go viral, right? Rand Paul grills Fauci. Rand Paul destroys Fauci. And I asked Dave, I said, you know, what can you say about this? And he goes, look, he said, Rand Paul has in hand the documents he would need, the proof he would need to indict Fauci. But if he indicts Fauci, his campaign fundraising ends. He said, look, he goes, most of these politicians, they're just doing enough to keep their campaign funding going. They're just making enough of a push, enough of a speech to get people riled up to think that, okay, wait, you know, hey, we should go donate to Ted Cruz because he's going up against, you know, Ray, whatever that is. But, you know, fundamentally, all of these politicians, and when I'm looking at these politicians, even a lot of the new politicians that are running, their America First politicians, how many of them are speaking out against the vaccine? How many of them are saying, you know how many of our military have died? Do you know how many of our military have been injured? Do you know how many of our children have died? Do you know how many young adults that were perfectly healthy are falling over from heart attacks? You know, I know there's a lot of politicians that say, well, you know, it's up to you. So where's the real backbone in the people? You know, how many politicians are coming out and saying, hey, everyone, you know what? There's some pretty serious food shortages coming, so you should go plant a garden. And saying, do you know, during, you know, the 40s and 50s, when we had our victory gardens post, you know, World War II, that the American people in their front lawns and in their backyards and whatever plot of land they could find were producing more than nearly half of the overall produce in America were coming from victory gardens. You don't hear anybody coming out, and I believe the same as you, talking about the matters, that the issues that really matter in this country. The other big one being the dollar, right? You know, going back to the whole the dollar discussion of the BRICS nations going up against the American dollar since the birth of the Federal Reserve, and especially since Nixon took us off the gold standard, the American dollar has been used as a weapon to fuel the power grabs and the country takeovers that have come out of America, the military industrial complex. We've printed unlimited money to fuel our wars, to seize, you know, assets, to seize national treasures, to seize gold, commodities, oil, et cetera. And so what's happening now is that we have a lot of people in around the world, you know, these BRICS nations specifically, saying, you know what? We're done with you guys using your dollar and printing unlimited money to fund your wars around the world. So we're going to take it out. What's that mean for the American people? You know, it just so happened to be that you had a Kirk Elliott ad. I would say that there is never a better time right now to buy gold. I'm not, look, I have no association with you or Kirk or anything like that. It's what I tell everyone I meet. Put your money into gold and silver, because it's not, you don't do it to get rich. You do it to preserve your wealth. And why aren't any politicians saying this? Why aren't politicians coming out and saying, you know what, folks? You know, when the dollar gets taken off as being the global reserve standard and the petrodollar, you know, we're going to see hyperinflation like Venezuela. And if you've got your $100,000 savings sitting in your bank account or an IRA, that might get wiped out over the course of a few days, weeks, or months.
Well, you don't hear any type of strategies being presented about what's going on with inflation. People are already losing at least 10% per year of the value of their savings if they're just holding it in cash. And you don't hear anyone giving anyone any strategies besides just wait, maybe the price of gas will go down. You know, I mean, but so it's up to us to figure it out. And, you know, thank goodness that we're a community of patriots who are taking action. But, you know, it's the time to wait around. You know, we're running out of time. And it's frustrating to me when, like, you see, let's play the next screenshot. It's a tweet from Carrie Lake, which, as far as politicians, doesn't get much better in my book than Carrie Lake. I love Carrie Lake. But she's complaining on Twitter about the fact that they're doing this thing that they always do when they try to steal elections. They try to cover up windows and put up fencing and block the sight of what they're doing so they can do crimes. And instead, they just say, this doesn't look too good on them. Well, no, not only does it not look too good, it's illegal and we need to stop them and arrest them immediately. I believe that Ted Cruz, when he was talking to Chris Ray, should have said, I call for you to resign right now. That's how bad your action, when you're investigating moms and dads and sending helicopters to intimidate parents for standing up for their kids, that means you need to resign right now. So I think we're playing too weak. We're playing softball when the deep state's playing hardball. But we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk about a lot of other interesting news things I want to get your perspective on. There's been lightning near the White House. There's been lightning in Arizona, and I wonder if it's really lightning. We're going to talk about that as soon as we get back.
Inflation is out of control. The price of gasoline has doubled in a very short time, and interest rates are set to rise. How do you protect and grow your portfolio to make sure that you do not outlive your assets? Invest in annuities that have rate lock. Rate lock is an innovative new feature that allows you to lock in your rate of return at any time during the year to lock in these volatile upswings of the market. And unlike CDs and money market accounts, they accumulate tax deferred and can participate in the upside of market indexes. And they're probate free, and they can provide an income that you can't outlive. With all the different companies, features, indexes, and benefits which annuities offer, it can be confusing to choose which annuity is best for your unique situation. Let a company you can trust help you select a rate lock annuity that's right for you. Add an annuity to your retirement portfolio and start enjoying the many benefits that smart investors love. Call the Cleveland Insurance Group at 844-USA-2024. That's the Cleveland Insurance Group at 844-USA-2024. The Cleveland Insurance Group, 844-USA-2024.
We're talking to Seth Holthouse. He's the host of Man in America. So, Seth, recently you had a lightning strike right outside of the White House in Lafayette Park. Four people were critically injured. It was caught on camera. Let's take a look. So that was supposedly a lightning strike that scared the crap out of those people shooting. They shut down their whole system after that happened. And there's also a lightning strike right where the crisis is happening, the election crisis in Maricopa County. And it lit a palm tree into flames, like something out of the Bible. And recently, you had the Georgia Guidestones were struck by some type of energy. Some people said it was lightning. Other people said it was a bomb. You know, and you know, I just wondered, Seth, when you read a headline like lightning strikes right outside of the White House and four people critically injured, do you do a double take and think to yourself, hey, is that really lightning? How do you see the world as far as these types of things?
Well, I mean, how I look at that is I think this is just the hand of God, right? So now maybe, okay, could it have been a bomb or something? Potentially, right? You know, I'm not an expert at looking at, you know, grainy footage. It's like the Georgia Guidestones. It's like people are saying, well, it was a bomb, or as people saying, well, it was lightning because of the light flared up and et cetera. I'm not an expert on that. But what I do know is that we are entering into a period, which I believe that we really are in a time period of a battle, and maybe a final battle of good and evil playing out in this world. You know, and you can look at it and say that it's you know, God versus Satan. You can look at it and say it's the people, it's the good people versus the cabal and the Satanists and Luciferian, etc. But fundamentally, we're in a very special time in history right now. And I believe that it is in these times that we start to see miracles and divine manifestations happen. So whether it's going to be lightning striking, whether it's going to be earthquakes or you know, Georgia Guidestone type events, and whether those are you know, at the hands of a bomb from a man or a lightning bolt from heaven, you know, to me it's kind of one and the same, because they're all indicative of something big shifting. And so I really do believe, as much as there's a lot of doom and gloom news, and I look, I cover a lot of it myself, with whether it's food shortages or the collapse of the currency system, you know, or the, you know, potential nuclear war with China and Russia. It is just this sign of where we're at right now. And I think that there's never been a more important time for people to ground themselves spiritually. It's very important, because right now we're seeing this battle of good and evil. And when you look at what's happening with, whether it's, you know, drag queen story hour, or this push for cannibalism, or, you know, all the evil things that we're seeing emerging in our society, even people that may have been atheists before, they might look at it and they might be saying, you know what, like, maybe Satan is real, because I've never seen this type of evil emerging.
I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, I still do believe there's top secret, you know, direct energy weapons, and we need to, you know, consider that as a possibility. But when I saw that a lightning strike in Arizona on social media, the person who saw that, their commentary was that it was the hand of God. So that's the way they viewed it as a possibility. But for me, I woke up for Pizzagate and all the revelations there with child sex trafficking, that evil is real. And I had a revival, personal revival in my life. And I think people are realizing that evil is real, despite the fact that many people try to brush everything under the rug and say that anything evil, where multiple evil people conspire together, is a conspiracy theory. Let's take a look at this clip of Alex Jones in court, where someone accused him of thinking the government could possibly be involved with human trafficking.
One of the things you've been talking about on your show is your allegation that government officials are aiding in pedophilia, child trafficking, and the grooming of children, right?
Well, you mean like what Jeffrey Epstein did with the Clintons?
That is one of the red pills that really wakes people up. That video might have been edited a little bit, I'm not sure. But yeah, you know, when you realize that a person that was apparently running an international blackmail sex trafficking ring was closely associated with royalty and with the heads of state, it does tend to wake people up a little bit. So I'm happy that he was willing to say that, you know, in the official record. Any comments, Seth?
I mean, I think that it's like truth has weight to it. And, you know, truth doesn't require elaborate propaganda and, you know, messaging. Like if you look at what the World Economic Forum is putting out, or, or Dick Cheney's ad for Liz Cheney, you know, real truth, it's a mic drop. Real truth is it's just like dropping a Moab. Right. And so, yeah, that's it. I mean, I haven't seen the more footage of that trial, which I should probably go find some time to watch it. But the reality is that this is where we're at in history, and this is becoming much more mainstream. And that's the critical point here, is that 10 years ago, you know, most people, if you told them that there are these gigantic rings of pedophilia and child trafficking and, you know, this criminal stuff, let alone getting into adrenochrome harvesting and all that satanic ritual abuse, most people would look at you and just think that you were a wacko. But this is, again, it's a part of the times that we're in, is that people are realizing and they're seeing through this illusion, and they're seeing past the bread and circuses. And so for me, you know, I grew up watching football, for instance. Well, I can't find any time to sit down and watch a football game. I haven't for a long time because it's like, well, this is just a distraction, right? And I'm not just not to kind of, you know, poo-poo on him that watches football because it's, you know, it's entertaining. It's a great pastime. It's part of our culture here in America. But, you know, when you look at what's really happening, if I get free time, like I'm studying, I'm reading books, I'm watching shows, I'm trying to educate myself and learn because I really believe that we are, and this is an all-out war, right? Humanity is experiencing an all-out war right now. America is at war. We're at war with the communists that have infiltrated our country for decades, and they're now moving into their end game. They want our land. They want our freedoms, you know, to be squashed. And so when you realize that, it makes it, for me, it's like, I can't turn it off, right? I have to keep going at it. I have to keep fighting in every way that I can. And I'm seeing that there's so many Americans, not just Americans, but patriots around the world, but people that are they're feeling that calling, right? You're not doing this for some big fancy paycheck and the fame and notoriety. You're doing this because you, at probably some point, you learned what was happening and you felt a calling, and that this is how you're fighting. I think that if you and I, if this was the late 1700s, I'd look over and I'd see you on my side with a musket and we'd be going to take down the Redcoats together.
I could bet on that. Thank you for your vote of confidence. But, you know, that's the first step for people to wake up, to realize that, you know, there is this infiltration, there is this tyranny within our institutions. And then the next step, people decide they're going to do something about it, but then they hit these walls and they realize, wait a minute, all the rules that I thought applied to our society, they don't apply anymore. Let's take a look at this clip in Detroit where someone was trying to observe an election and they just got shut out by security guards.
So why do you trust them and not me?
Listen, I'm not on anybody's side.
Look, Michigan election law, Act 116 of 1954, 168.727, when they obstruct you, right? An election official refuses to act upon a legitimate challenge, which is what happened earlier.
Okay.
And instead of acting on it—
There's other challengers?
And instead of acting on it— all they tried to do was obstruct me.
Okay.
Right? But that's not even— Just wait, another law right here. An election official refuses to prevent intimidation of a challenger, which is exactly what's happening to me. These people, they don't give me their names. They don't give me any credentials. I don't even know if they work here.
Okay.
And they're demanding information from me.
I understand.
I have no idea who they are.
So you can file a complaint?
Against who? They refuse to give me their names. And they say they don't have to. And there's dozens of them. And I'm one guy. They have nothing. They just say, I see you.
Well, that's private security.
So why are they allowed to do this to me?
I have no idea.
Hang on.
Were hired by the election of staff.
Do they know the law?
You're asking.
They don't know the law. So when they obstruct, right? If after you cite Michigan election law, which I did to them multiple times, they continue to refuse or access or restrict legitimate actions as an election challenger, I can cite Act 116 of 1954, 168.734. They are breaking the law.
Okay, listen to me.
That's right. You can go as a lone wolf and try to observe things. They're just going to shut you out. And you can just get into arguments with the policemen. They don't understand the law. They don't care. They're going to go with the status quo, which is follow whatever the big tough people who seem to be running things say to do, right? So we've got to get together. There's power in numbers. If there were 100 people there saying, hey, they're breaking the law, you better believe it. It would have been a bigger story. So Seth, any comment on that?
No, that was exactly what I was thinking, is that, look, if there was 100 or if there was 1,000 people right there, then they would be. And maybe the right thing is to go find the local sheriff. Like this is what it really comes down to, is that we have to go back to the Constitution. We have to go back to the founding documents and really know and live those documents, because that is what we have to go. It's like, look, in a lot of ways, the left, the criminals that are trying to run this country, they don't play by the rules of the Constitution. And if we don't hold a strong enough belief in the Constitution and a belief that the Constitution gives us these rights and that we're not going to back down, then they're just going to take the Constitution and shred it. You know, I saw an amazing video lately, and maybe you saw this video as well. There was an ATF ATF officer that showed up to some man's house for a gun search, basically. It was about straw purchases wanted to make sure that guns that were purchased were at the home because you can't purchase a gun for somebody else. And it was actually brilliant because this is the beauty of the Constitution. So the guy said, you know, wait, so you're here as the ATF to search for my guns, which is illegal. And he said, okay, yeah, let me go grab them for you. He went inside, shut the door. He called the local police. He said, look, there's a guy that's impersonating an ATF agent at my door trying to take my guns. So the police show up, and the police shows up and you see the body cam footage. They show up with guns drawn saying, sir, get on the ground, get on the ground. The guy's like, I'm an ATF agent, and say, we don't care. Get on the ground. They end up tasing the guy, handcuffing him and arresting him, even though he's an ATF agent, because that's the thing is at the local level, our local policemen, our sheriffs, they're the ones that it's their duty to uphold the Constitution. And so again, now this guy, you know, great kudos to him for putting himself out there and for paying attention. And that's the thing is that if more Americans were out there with him, if more Americans were caring about what's happening with our election system, and if we were fighting, then we wouldn't be where we are right now.
And I think half the battle is knowing the law and knowing your rights. And I think the guy in that video had that part down. So he just needs to get his strategy with other patriots going. And I think he'll have a lot of impact. So the next thing I wanted to show on screen is that Vladimir Putin and Kim Jong-un of North Korea have a new love affair going on. It's not a real picture, of course, but Putin is considering turning to Kim Jong-un for help in Ukraine and offering energy and grain in return for 1,000 soldiers. And North Korea has made it plain that they're happy to do that kind of a deal. Any comment on that, Seth?
It's what we're seeing play out right now. We're seeing an alliance form against the Western nations. We're seeing an alliance it's the BRICS nations. Really, it's China at the center of this, the CCP at the center of this. Putin, North Korea, Iran, other nations are coming together. And again, as I mentioned earlier, like this is just the beginning. This is just the first stage. We're not going to see Russia back off of Ukraine and China back off of Taiwan or even take Taiwan and then have it all be over and things go back to how they were. This is the beginning strategy for them of a process of wanting to literally take over the world. And there's a lot of people that say, oh, that's crazy. But it's like, no, look, like if you study, you know, CCP doctrine, if you study Xi Jinping, if you study the, you know, leaked speeches from their military generals, they make it very, very clear their end goal is to replace America. Their end goal is to claim our land. They need our farmland. Of one of many things, they want our farmland. And so that's what they're working towards. And so for people that are saying, well, you know, Putin's fighting against the deep state in Ukraine, that's true. You know, our government has very bad, evil elements, bio labs, human trafficking, et cetera, in Ukraine. But what's also happening is that he is helping pave the way for the CCP to enter into a global control system. Because as much as people say, oh, well, you know, once they're bringing out their new, you know, global reserve currency, et cetera, at the center of that is the CCP and the digital currency. Take one look at what's happening in communist China now. Ask the citizens there that don't agree with the party how the digital currency is working out, right? Because what happens to them...
And this reminds me of World War II. If you recall, yeah. You know, when the Russians thought the Nazis were going to play nice, that didn't turn out too well for the Russians in World War II. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk about Kevin Spacey getting a $30 million fine or being sued for $30 million. He has to pay it. But do you think that really is going to, you know, solve the problem of him raping people and harassing people? We're going to take a quick break. We're going to get Seth's perspective as soon as we get back.
Hi, I'm My Patriot Supply. Preparedness is my thing.
Our most popular kit sold out in just 3 days.
Well, that's great, but you're a preparedness company.
A marketing company.
A preparedness company. Shouldn't you have been a little better prepared?
One day, my friend. One day.
One day what?
Soon you'll learn that one of the best tactics in marketing is scarcity. There's no better sales trick.
But you're a preparedness
marketing.
Okay, a marketing company in a preparedness business who openly advertises how many times you haven't been prepared. It's the very definition of irony.
When you're as popular as we are, you sell out. Don't worry, one day you'll sell out too.
No, we won't, because we're a real preparedness company and we take nothing more serious than having things in stock. We're reliable, and that's why My Patriot Supply is the industry leader in emergency preparedness.
True genius is never recognized in its time.
We're talking to Kevin Holhouse. talking about Kevin Spacey with Seth Holhouse of Man in America. So, Seth, you know, sorry about that. Let's take a look on the screen of Kevin Spacey back when he was sitting on the throne there in the UK, the King and Queen's throne. Not a lot of people get to act like they're in charge of the world like that. And you know, it's just kind of flaunting the power, really, that photo. He was best friends with Bill Clinton, Epstein, you know, just unbelievable how well connected he was. He had been accused of raping and harassing young men, and these people who accuse him keep dropping dead. So several of them. It's just unbelievable. And now he's being forced to pay $31 million for sexual misconduct, and he's paying the House of Cards production company. So unfortunately, victims here end up dying and no one investigates the deaths. And then there's some kind of big payday for a production company. In one sense, I'm happy that Kevin Spacey is getting some type of punishment. But in another sense, it's certainly not enough. Any comment?
I mean, it reminds me of this certain political couple. I think it was Bill and Hillary Clinton. Right. Anybody who steps out against him ends up with bullet holes in their head or, you know, falling out of a building. I think this is a sign of our times. And I believe that right now with where we're at, it's like, you know, where's Maxine's, where's her list at? Where's her client list? Right. Or sorry, Ghislaine Maxwell. Where's her client list? Where is the true justice for what's happening with Epstein Island? And that's just the tip of the iceberg. So unfortunately, I don't expect a lot of justice to come at this stage, right? I think that there will be justice in the future, but you know, we've got, if you look at the criminal cabal that's running this world, whether it is, you know, through Hollywood, and I'm not saying it's just one central, but it's the criminals in general, the communists, you know, the communists are kings of blackmail, you know, and they almost invented the pedophilia blackmail. Like that was something that was a big part of the Soviet Union was that. And so what we're seeing, though, is we're seeing that there is an entire layer of criminals running our society, and they get these slaps on the wrist, right? You know, so even $30 million, you know, how do you know that that's not being paid by somebody else, right? You know, so I think that everyone wants to see justice. We want to see, you know, the video of Hillary being taken off to Gitmo in handcuffs, or Bill Gates, or any of these people. But I think that with where we're at in history, that we have this difficult period we're going through right now, but more people have to stand up, right? And that's what's going to take it, is that it's like we, the people, not just the American people, but the people around the world that are sick and tired of being slaves to this globalist system, we have to be the ones that collectively stand up. Because the globalists, the communists that they know, they only control us if we allow them to. Because there are way more of us than them, right? There's a handful of celebrities.
We've run out of time, Seth. But I think that's a really good thing to wrap up on, that we have to stand up and we have to get together. Just like the guy in the video in Detroit, he was trying to go against a dozen private security and argue with some cop that didn't understand the law. But if there were 100 or 1,000 of them, you better believe it would have made a bigger impact. So thank you, Seth, for your perspective. Make sure you go to maninamerica.com. Check out his show. You're going to love it. God bless you, brother. And thank you for watching AmericanMediaPeriscope.com. We are America's patriot-only network. You can reach us at ampnews.us. Reach me and my breaking news updates at SeanMorganReport.com. And follow me on Truth Social at SeanMorganReport. God bless. All you patriots, good night and good luck.
Government-induced inflation, taxes, rising interest rates, political instability. All of these can have a crushing effect on our investments, often causing the stock market to go down. But they can also cause gold and silver to go up.
Hi, this is Dr. Kirk Elliott. Buy gold, buy silver, buy now, but buyer beware. precious metals companies are not created equal. As a PhD economist, I have been in the financial, economic, and precious metals business for 3 decades. The philosophy of my firm is people over profit. I encourage you to read my bio to learn more about me at KirkElliottPhD.com.
Now is the time to own physical metals in an IRA, 401k, and outside of a retirement plan. Don't let the government destroy your hard-earned assets any longer. Call 720-605-3900 or visit KirkElliottPhD.com.